to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
So it's official. Ladies of Liverpool is one years old today. And, you know, I've got to start just by saying, I always say thank you at the start, don't I? Force of habit, but I do always just count my lucky stars that people are listening. I know you're sharing the links on your Facebook pages. If there's a story that means something to you, you'll pass it on. And I thank you so much for that. The listening figures are absolutely tremendous. So we're serving a purpose. Thank you for helping me spread all these stories of these amazing women of Liverpool doing fantastic things. And sometimes I just maybe feel a little bit guilty working on the radio and talking, you know, about all these wonderful things, but because people are paying for radio stations to talk about them, when out there are some tremendous stories that need to be told, whether the stories of survival, whether the stories of winning, or just stories where there's a lesson involved and we can all have a good old laugh. I'm sure you've got your favourites from past episodes. I've definitely got mine. But this week, to celebrate us being 1 year old, I'm doing something very brave. And I am doing a podcast with me, Leanne Campbell. Always on the other side of the mic asking the questions. This week, you're asking the questions. And I'm answering as honestly as I possibly can without going to jail or losing my job. But the questions are pretty deep. So we're going to get stuck in. This is Ladies of Liverpool this week, celebrating our first birthday with me, Leanne Campbell.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Well, I'm sat in a studio, all on me lonesome, like a lamb to the slaughter, and I'm scrolling through the messages you've left me on Instagram. I was daft enough to put it out there on a whim. I was just sat in my kitchen going, who can we get on for Ladies of Liverpool? Who represents Ladies of Liverpool? I was like, oh, what about? I put myself on the hot seat. So you did. You asked your questions. I said on Instagram, ask me any questions and I'll answer as many as possible. So let's go through the messages. And let's start off with the one loads of you were asking. It's probably the most asked question I get. What made you get into radio? Well, the fact that it was a wage for a start. I was a jobbing actress and never thought about radio. To be honest, thought I could never do it. Talking without a script horrified me. Absolutely put the fear of God into me. And when someone, a lovely guy called Clive Dickens, who was very important in the radio industry, I think he gave, Chris Evans his first job. So everyone in radio thinks he's the bee's knees. And he actually is one of the nicest fellas I've ever met. But I didn't know him at the time. He waited outside the Royal Court where I was performing and he offered me a job. And I said, no, long story short. And then he asked me to cover somebody's holiday leave. And I said yes. And if you remember Juice FM, I turned up without knowing how to log on to a computer. And there I was, just sat there, trying my very best to do traffic and travel, not knowing how to do it. I made a show of myself, but by using all the Scouse phrases that we know and love that no one on radio was saying, because there were so many non-Scousers on Liverpool radio, it seemed to light a little fire. And from there, I started doing breakfast. And if you remember the Louis Hayes breakfast show, the large portion show, we had a laugh for a good couple of years. And that's how it all began really for me on radio. Not because I went and trained to do it, because I didn't. I'm still learning every single day. And not because I had this love for radio and broadcasting, but simply because it meant I didn't have to go work away in plays. I got to stay at home and I was planning on getting married to the love of my life. So I thought, I don't have to travel. I'll be at home every single night. And I might even get an afternoon sleep. And I also thought, I'll be honest, if I get up dead early in the morning, I'd like start going to the gym and that. Yeah, that never happened.
Ladies of Liverpool.
This was a popular one. What time do you get up in the morning? Too early. So if you're doing breakfast radio, you're up at 4 o'clock in the morning, usually. 4 o'clock in the morning, you're in for five, you go live at six, you've got to get in a little bit early, just check nothing in the world's changed overnight. And yet that's pretty grim. Some of you say, is it much easier in the summer? Yeah, no. Getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning is horrible unless you go in the airport and you're going on your holiday and you're with your family or your mates. No, it's grim. It's horrible. And another question that was asked quite a few times, do you ever get fed up in the early mornings and do you ever want to quit? All the time. Could you ask that to anyone in any job? Do you ever want to quit? Yeah. All the time? Yeah. Loads of times I've gone, oh, I've cried at the end of the bed. But do you know what? Once you get in, and if you're lucky enough to work with a brilliant team, and you're loving what you're doing and you're confident in your show, then it gets easier. Here's one from Mrs. Downs who says, What's the best job you've ever had and why? I've had some great jobs. Radio is brilliant. It's great. If you're lucky enough to get into radio, I'm sure you'll love it. TV was brilliant. Playing the part of Pam in Children's Ward was great. I was about 16 at the time. So I was filming in Manchester for ITV, which was Granada, if you're old enough to remember. And if you remember Children's Ward, it was a programme that was on every week. And it was about kids in a hospital. Self-explanatory, really, isn't it? My storyline was Pam and a little mate were trying to cop off with two lads in a little burger joint. And we ended up getting food poisoning. And it was all down to the lads who were dishing out old burgers. And we ended up in Aussie for a bit. So it was really, really loads of fun. And it paid for me to take my mate, because by the time you get paid, it's a little while after you've filmed, to go on Aldi. So off we went to Magaluf. So that was a brilliant job. I loved that. But my best memories come from being a glass collector in Orries on County Road. So I wasn't there long. I got sacked. I was only there for a few weeks. But I loved it. So hello to all the team down there at Orries. It's still going. I think it's called something else now. But Big Joe Orr, he was in charge. And because I took my best mate, who was also a glass collector, and we'd only been mates a couple of weeks since I started there, on a little pub crawl around the Jawbone, the Merton, and back onto County Road before our shift on a Sunday, I got the sack.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
This is a good one. What trait do you hate about yourself? I don't know. It's easy, isn't it, to say the bad things about yourself. I've got tons. I'm unorganised in every sense of my life. Every part of my life is just up the wall. My diary, I don't know how I remember to get to half of the gigs that I do. When it comes to scripts, I'm like, I learn that and I don't. Everything's on a wing and a prayer, as my mother says. I'm horizontal, I'm too laid back. That's probably a really bad trait. I do sort of go, oh, is anyone going to die? No, well, we'll be all right then. Just try and get through things by the skin of my teeth. That's not a great trait, is it? That's probably one of my worst. The other one is I'm not very competitive. I wish I'd been more competitive maybe throughout my life. But then that just wouldn't be me. Even down to like when we were kids and we'd go bowling and stuff, my mum and dad would be killing each other to make sure that they won. My sister, she's really competitive as well. Me, not so much. I've got a younger brother, Jack. He's a bit like me. He's very like me, actually. We sort of just float by. If we've got something to laugh about, we're all right. We don't take things too seriously. But I do wish I had a little bit more of my sister and my mum and dad in the sense that I think of it as being competitive. Maybe, you know, I've done some brilliant things that I'm so proud of in my life. Maybe if I'd have just pushed myself a little bit more and not been so complacent, would I have done some even more amazing things? We never know. I'm also guilty of worrying a little bit too much about upsetting people. I hate that about myself. I do sort of second guess things all the time. Even if someone's done something to really hate me or, you know, really upset me, and I go, oh. And also, I'm a bit of a mess. It's true. My shoes are everywhere. My clothes are everywhere. My wardrobes totally need looking into. I think my life as a whole all needs to be managed by someone else because I get so like carried away in creative stuff that I just tend to leave everything else. So yeah, that's definitely one thing. I'm unorganised. I'm a bit of a mess and I worry too much about upsetting other people. This is a nice one. What's your most treasured possession? I've got in my wardrobe a cardigan that belonged to me nana. This is a bit of a sad story, like, but when me nana died, me mum's mum, and I was very close to me nana Josie and me granddad Joe, me mum's mum and dad. I have blessed with two gorgeous sets of grandparents, but when me nana Josie died, I didn't make it to the hospital in time, and she had a heart attack quite suddenly. And when I got there, everyone was obviously very upset, me mum, my auntie. And the nurse handed me a cardigan that she'd been wearing. And I took it home and I put it in my wardrobe. And it's been in every wardrobe I've ever had since. That must be 20 years ago we lost me nan. I just met Jay and we just started dating. And I always say, I think that's why me and Jay ended up so strong and lasting so long. And, you know, to go from your first boyfriend becoming your husband and the dad to your kids and being together 20 years later. I know that can be quite a rare thing. I know I'm really lucky with that, with finding him. But we found each other at a strange time in both of our lives. And for me, I can talk about my side. It was the grief of me nan dying. I don't think we, as a family, knew how to deal with it. She was like the strength. She was the queen. And we all sort of fell apart a little bit. And so every house I've had, this cardigan's hung up. And then when my granddad passed away, I put his cardigan on top of it. And they both hang up in my wardrobe. So anytime something goes wrong, or I have one of those days that we all have, where you just feel a little bit like overwhelmed or you can't cope, I go and I get the little cardies out the cupboard and I remind myself that they're probably still watching. And wallowing will not do it for them, so I better pull myself together.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Leanne, what's your biggest disappointment? There's two. One, not winning the lottery yet, even though I don't play every single week, I still think I should win. But that is my ultimate goal, to win the lottery and to not have to go to work and to actually do all the things I dream about. I go to bed of a night and I do ask, believe, receive. And I'm like, okay, how much am I going to win? I know the exact amount I should win and how I'm going to dish that out amongst my friends and family and what I'm left with. And I've got a whole plan. I've even visualised the place I'm going to live in Italy, but it hasn't happened yet. So that's one of my biggest disappointments. The other one is not appearing in Brookside. You probably don't know, I auditioned a few times for Brookside and I was right in the middle bracket age-wise between the Chadwick sisters. So you had the gorgeous Jennifer Ellison, who I did a podcast with, who's just brilliant, isn't she? She's such a laugh. She played Emily Chadwick. And then we had Nikki Chadwick, who was played by Suzanne Collins, who became a really, really good friend of mine. But we didn't know each other at the time when we were all auditioning at the time. There was me and another girl and the two sisters that actually became the two Chadwick sisters. And I'm sure it was down to like, we were down to the last few. So it could have gone either way. So that's one of the disappointments at the time. But with all things that you get disappointed in life, years later, when you look back, you think, no, that was never supposed to be my path. This was supposed to be my path. But going back to Brookside, there was another time, there was another character, and I was going to be sort of brought in as someone's friend who was already in it. And then that character got binned. So there were a couple of times when I could have popped up on Brookside. And at the time, it was so huge, wasn't it? It would have been tremendous. And I thought the world had ended. I was like, oh, that was my big chance. Oh, there's my second big chance. Neither one worked out. So I didn't end up on Brookside. But it did lead me to do more theatre, which then led to Juice FM, which led to Radio City and all the other fabulous things that have come with that. I was also very close to getting a part in Footballers' Wives, if you remember that. That was a good one, wasn't it? And there was another Sky One Footballers one, Dream Team. And I went for a part and it was to play a scouse, bubbly, blonde girl. It was literally me. I thought, if I don't get this, I'm giving up acting. Well, I didn't get it. So that was another big disappointment. Here's another. What's your favourite word? Fabulous. I use it all the time. Too much. I listen back to the podcast sometimes. I'm like, stop saying fabulous. I can't help it. Everything's fab. This is fab. That's fab. Everything's fabulous. I say love all the time as well. But with fab, my mate's just had a baby called Fabian and we call him Fab. So it's great. I can say, oh, fab's fab. He is fab.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
You sent loads of these. I'm going to get through as many as I can. Let's whiz through a few. Red or blue? Red. If you could interview any scouser in the world, who would it be? Colleen Rooney, most definitely. I would love to sit with a bottle of wine in our pyjamas, just me and Colleen, and have a proper chinwag. That would be an interesting episode, wouldn't it? this is one from Kathy who says, hi babe, you work so hard. Does your hobby not mind minding the kids? That is. That half is. No, he doesn't, I don't think. Know, maybe ask him if you ever bump into him, but I'd hope not, because he went halves on them. How do you remain so positive? From Nelly Helly 39. I've just got loads to be positive about. I think that's my mum and dad. They're very much like that, my mum and dad. My dad was working on the oil rigs, so he was always going on strike and stuff like that, you know, for safety and standing up against Maggie Thatcher. And so we went through times where just me mum was working, or, you know, we'd struggle, but my dad was really standing up for what he believed in. And so as a family, it was all about doing the right thing and just being happy with your lot and, you know, looking after each other. So a lot of that has been passed on to me. My sister's the same, my brother's the same. I hope I've passed it on to my kids as well. You know, you can spend time feeling negative about stuff. If you're not going to do anything about it, it's a waste of time, isn't it? If you can do something about it, then bloody do it. Whatever that may be, whether that's relationships, whether it's jobs or whatever. You can only sit and cry about being hard done by so much, and then you've got to get out there and face it head on. I know all about that. I've done that in my past. Do you think you'll always work at Radio City? Do you know what? I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. Radio's changed so much just in the time I've been doing it, which I've lost count since my early 20s, maybe late 30s. And it's just so different now. You know, the things we could do on radio, it was just a ball. There were hardly any rules or regulations in comparison to what we have to deal with now. Complaints are just like off the scale, aren't they? So you've got to be really wary. Everything you think of doing, you sort of have to check. If you're allowed to, is it going to offend someone? So it's so different. You used to be able to say stuff on the mic and you welcomed someone, you know, getting in touch and arguing the toss with you. That was part of the job, you know, and it was all done in a friendly manner. You know, I can remember giving away boob jobs and who was the quickest to get to the studios and things like that. You can't do any of that now. So right or wrong, times have changed and it's very different. So I don't know, you know, with like Spotify and podcasts, how long radio's even going to be a thing. So for now, I'm just enjoying every single second of it. It's one of those jobs. I feel sorry for people who are just starting in it now because it's almost like they've missed the best times. But the younger ones today coming into the business, they probably see it totally different. But I know when I sit with my mates who I worked with years and years and years ago, and we talk about the stuff we did and the opportunities that came about and the friends that we made, we're just so lucky to have done it. So I feel really grateful to have been in radio so long, and I'll be in radio for as long as radio will have me. What's your favourite podcast so far? Townhouse. Townhouse opened my eyes to a whole new world. Search that one out because there's so many now. We've got a year's load of podcasts. Search out Townhouse. The very first one, because it was the first one, also because it was with a friend of mine, Tracy. And thirdly, it's about donating your eggs. I didn't even know that was a thing, to just be going about your business, dropping your eggs off and someone else having a baby, all thanks to you stepping in. That to me is just magical. That was a very special one. The one with my mum, I love doing that one and I need to listen back to that one. But I've had some like really close friends come on here and we've had a real gab and I found things out about them behind the mic that I actually didn't know. And most of all, I've heard stories like Katie Walker's. You know, that girl had her whole face bashed in by a fella. She was left with just this half a face, surgery after surgery after surgery. And she's just thrown a charity ball. If you find her on Facebook now, she's just looked absolutely gorgeous doing a charity ball to raise money for domestic violence. And that is an inspirational lady of Liverpool right there.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Last one then, before I bore you to tears. Do you know what, I might do one of these again. Just get your questions in as and when. I'm going to go for something a bit positive. What's the closest you've come to death? I don't know, maybe giving birth to Joseph. That didn't go well. But I did hypnobirthing and that got me through it. I think that's what saved my life. But no, it's not as dramatic as it sounds. But that's probably at the time as the closest I've ever felt to death. Hello to all the pregnant ladies out there. No, it's not that bad. I'm only messing. I'm only messing. It's lovely. You'll enjoy every minute of it. Who would you invite to your dream dinner party? Okay. So I would invite my mum and dad and Jay straight away. Robbie Fowler to sit between me dad and my husband. That would be like winning the lottery for them. Tina Turner for my mum, so she could sing some songs to my mum. Colleen Rooney for me, so we could have a natter. Klopp, head of the table, and the late, great Mickey Finn, Liverpool comedian who just had to look at me and I'd be in stitches. A wonderful man, missed by so many. Yeah, Mickey Finn in his party hat, making us all laugh. Well, nice one. You've just had me expose my life and my thoughts. I feel like we're all a little bit closer now. If you're listening via the app, do us a favour, leave a review, rate, review. It helps build us up the charts and we're doing so well. So keep that going. And we'll be back next week with another lady of Liverpool, Rebecca Vaughan, who's going to talk to us all about her time in Big Brother and how it really did ruin her life. But she's rebuilt it up and she's doing something fabulous. It's a great listen. Don't miss it. Ladies of Liverpool, back next Friday.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.